How about the social side? You've talked a bit about the social side. And the traditional spring tourism is still going, right?
Yeah, so yeah, I know we had the spring tours. We had, I travelled out to, we went New York and Boston. I travelled out there with Gloucester when we went to New York and Boston. And I also did South Africa with Gloucester as well in 93, I think that was, something like that. I think it must be 1990-91, I think. The America one was, and then about 2 years later, 93 or something like that, we went out to South Africa. They were cracking tours. You know, they were there. As young lads who, we didn't get paid in those days. At the beginning of the season, you had your kit. You know, we had a pair of boots and a tracksuit there if you were lucky, sort of thing. And you're thinking, great, it was like Christmas. You know, you turned up, went back, you might have had a T-shirt as well. You thought this was brilliant, and then when you went on tours, all of a sudden, you got some grey slacks, you got your new blazer, you know, it was a kit bag, and a suit carrier, that meant the world. And the tours that we went on were all subsidised and sponsored type thing, so they weren't going to cost you what you were taking out with you, was your spending money sort of thing. So for you, it was like a holiday, and you're going out with 20, 30 blokes who you get on with, all of a similar interest. And, whilst we're out there, we trained hard, we're up every morning training and what have you. But there was that social side to it as well. And, every evening you'd be having a drink and a beer and socialising. And that's where you built the team spirit, you unified as a team, you united there. And that's what perhaps got you through in the later years in particular, in the mid-90s, some of the harder games that we come up against when we were battling to stay up in the league at those times. We drew back to the friendships and the bonding that had been gone before on these tours and what have you, and it was a good way to set yourself up ready for the season ahead. You had all your kit ready for the season, and what have you, and you had some good mates and friends that you built up with it, and when we weren't going on the foreign tours, we'd have little pre-season camps up in places like Newcastle. And I remember once we flew from Staverton up to Newcastle, and we'd gone up there on a little pre-season thing, and this was like in the mid-90s. This is just as, not so much the professional area, but they were starting to look at your diet, and they were starting to look at other ways to enhance your performance on the field. And some dietitian had come up, and he was there saying, it's no good you eating your steak on a Friday night before you start playing on a Saturday, because your stomach's still going to be digesting it, and what you ought to be eating is more pasta based things and all this other stuff. And we flew up there, and we were sat in this hotel lobby. We were having some soup, vegetable soup, and then we're going to have cream of mushroom pasta and then something else after. And you sat there thinking, you hadn't said any meat. I always have meat. And you were sat there, and they served up all this food, and we sat there and we ate it, and we had a little team meeting, and he said, right, it's now 8 o'clock, you can go into town. I don't want to see anybody drinking copious amounts. We'll be on the training ground at 9 o'clock in the morning. Everyone shot out into Newcastle, and as we're walking down the thing, you then look at McDonald's. Oh, hey, there's Deeks there in the window. Hey, Kentucky, hey, there's a rash meat. And everyone, particularly the Fords, had all gone into the eating areas and was filling themselves up with. So this health kick, type thing that they were there trying to introduce us to, had all gone straight out the window. I remember Andy Deacon and Tony Windham, who were two good mates off the field as well as on. Always used to sit down at Long Meadows, have a couple of pints of Guinness and a bit to eat the day before on a Friday night, just to calm them down, set themselves up before their big game. Every player had his own little ritual that suited him, that made you comfortable, ready for the next day. And for them, they'd have a couple of pints of Guinness or a couple of pints of beer, whatever it was, but you ain't gonna get, but that put them to sleep and sorted them, and so be it. The tools were there, and they were good, team builders. They were good fun, and especially as a young lad at the time, it was like a holiday. The train I had no weight on me. The training was never a problem. You know, I used to thrive on the training and thoroughly enjoyed the training. Yeah. We thoroughly enjoyed them. Yeah.
Any particular entertainers or jokers on the tour?
It was one of those things that when we'd come from Lydney, you know, back in the days of Lydney and the junior clubs, you were there and everything was the drinking games and the antics. You know, it was, you know, you were playing all your cookies and spoofs and your fizz buzzes and all sorts of things, and you'd be playing all those, and people ended up in all different states of undress and forfeits of running around fields and cricket grounds next door to Lydney and what have you. And it, you know, when we came up to Gloucester, you know, obviously you're at that higher level there and a bit more covering, you know, you've got to behave yourself a bit more. You've got to be a bit more candid on what's expected of you, exactly. So things come out, and it was singing was the big thing then. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, you know, they all used to sing, and you know, Jerry Perrins, Marcus Hannaford, Lloyd Gardner, you know, were all there, very talented singers, you know, so they were always there, keen to get up and start a sing song, and you know, some of the old rugby songs, Alf's, Simon Garfunkel hits, you know, all those sort of things would come out, and you know, there'd be a lot of singing. You know, Laurie Beck and what have you there, as young lads on the tours, there'd always be a bit of tomfoolery. You know, people's rooms would be turned upside down. You know, the contents of the beds and things would end up on balconies or in bathrooms or just totally disappear from the hotel room altogether. Malcolm Pree was another, you know, bit of a comedian joker type chap. Nothing there really. It's untoward, you know, they we've been every rugby club, there's characters there that keep it all buzzing and keep the mood up, sort of thing. But it was, you know, a lot of it was, you know, and what they all enjoyed was the old sing songs. You know, they used to, you know, get to places and have a good old sing song, and it was one of those there that, you know, the boys that could sing started it off, and as the nights went by, the ones that couldn't sing, like myself, after having about, you know, 5 or 6 pints, then became contenders. But nobody was so drunk by then, nobody could understand what I was saying. It was,